privileged to have Mercy Wanjau, the director, the acting director general of the Communications Authority of Kenya.
Thank you very much. I'm Mercy Wanjau, the acting director general, Communications Authority of Kenya. I'm very happy to be hosted on the Wamathai podcast to discuss issues of child online protection.
What is CA's mandate as far as the online safety of children?
CA has a very broad mandate relating to safeguarding of children online. And this is particularly very pertinent today that we're in a pandemic and a lot of activities are being done online. So our mandate is to secure the online space, to promote trust and confidence for children and even for adults.
Yeah.
And in this time, when we used to do things in physical spaces, in classrooms, in offices, and all of a sudden this got disrupted, and the movement was into the home, whose security was really for domestic and entertainment purposes. And this is now being heavily utilized for education of children to conduct transactions online, e-commerce, financial transactions, and to work. So it becomes very important that the conversation around child online protection and cybersecurity in general.
What would you say are some of the top risks that children face online?
It's a broad range. For starters, pre-COVID, we all used to indicate that children should not spend too much time online. We broke all those rules. Because an entire school day now is held online, either through internet platforms or even on TV. Education content is also being streamed on TV. So a lot of eyeball time is being spent online. Now, when children are particularly engaging through the internet, there is the real danger of exposure to inappropriate content, whether they pull it themselves deliberately or it's pushed on them through others, or they access it by chance. And this is the new and emerging reality. And in fact, there has been quite some caution being sent out that, you know, mental issues could also arise in terms of affecting socialization when we all learn how to interact more online than we do offline. But coming more specifically to children is the first issue of cyberbullying. Children and adults and the like, that is a real danger and it's happening. Yeah. And in the Kenyan context, we are very concerned about this and have been doing a lot of awareness because the Kenyan penetration of ICTs is very high. So the usage and misuse of the platforms also is very high. There are also instances of cyber stalking and also the incidents of accessing inappropriate content. Where children might be involved in some kind of issue that involves financing, also the high risk of online fraud being committed. And it's a broad range of issues that could come through.
So let's say, for instance, today, my child is online, is cyberbullied, etc. What are some of the remedies that I can be able to take so that I can protect my child?
I'd like to look at the internet figuratively like a road.
Yeah.
If you want your child to take your car and go on the road, you first have a conversation on the do's and the don'ts. They go to driving school and they learn the etiquette around that before you place the key in their hands and ask, what is the conversation that parents have with their children before they get onto the information superhighway?
Yeah.
We encourage that parents have conversations with children on the internet. We do recognize that sometimes parents do not feel comfortable or confident to discuss this internet because often our children know more than we do. But there is a place to have a conversation about what the internet is, the need to conduct one decently online, because the internet never forgets. And these images could easily visit you at a later time very, very inconveniently. So that after having that conversation, it is then clear what the boundaries are, how much time are we going to spend online? Where will the internet be accessed and for what purposes? This is particularly very important in Kenya because we are a society that promotes learning. We promote education. And research has demonstrated that most homes that own computers or devices that children have access to, this is done so that they can be able to spend more time studying. But the reality from the statistics is that these devices often are used for edutainment, education and entertainment. So you can see why then I'm emphasizing about the need for a conversation on how long will you be on the internet? Where will you access the internet? Because ideally, it should not be in a closed space. It should be in an open space where, you know, the front of the computer is outward facing to enable others to see what the child is doing. And how will you then interact with others, those you know and those you do not know, because of issues of privacy and safety? Because at the end of the day, child or adult, cybersecurity is very personal.
True. Do you see a way of being able to work with partners to be able to educate children on cybersecurity and how they can be able to protect themselves online? For instance, some platforms such as Google and Facebook provide ways, and features to be able to protect children. So how do you see that happening, or is this something that is already ongoing?
You know, your question, it reminds me of an African proverb that says that it takes a village to raise a child.
Yeah.
And really, today, it takes a village to ensure that a child enjoys cyber security. No one can do this alone. So we take a very heavy collaborative approach, a multi-stakeholder approach, because we recognize that we need to come at this issue as a common front. So the regulator is there, together with the operators coming along. We also have the enforcement agencies, the law enforcement agencies. Mm-hmm. We have the child protection agencies also coming along. We also have the awareness and campaign platforms coming along. And you have mentioned some of them just now. Yeah. This is particularly important because cybersecurity is an issue that crosses boundaries in a very... in a very broad sense, because even when we talk about crime, crime is physical, so it's real. It's real time, and cybersecurity. You could be facing cyber threats here that have emanated from another continent, let alone another country.
Yeah.
And because of that, you actually find that you need partners who are local, regional, and international. You also need to foster a deep culture of collaboration to allow for information exchange, particularly when the threats run across boundaries. Then it becomes very important. We value our customers, and our licensees, I would say, have been really on the front line because they are the gateways that open out. When we look at the space of the child also, there are aspects that you'll have conversations with children, but you also need to target parents. You need to target guardians.
Yeah.
You need to target the school community where children spend a significant amount of time. You also need to target the broader religious community. So really, this is a conversation for everybody so that way it allows for a creative tension where you have an empowered child and the stakeholders around the child are also very aware. And even those third-party providers would be providing content or interface with this close circle to the child are aware that this community is aware. So it's very collaborative.
And I like that you actually launched a platform that has information for both parents and children. And on that platform, there are various resources. First, you can report, but also you can educate yourself as a parent of their child,
right,
on various, you know, on various issues around, you know, online safety and protection. Now, do you see a lot of people reporting either through the website or through, you know, law enforcement when some of these things happen?
Yes, actually, the reporting began to rise with growing awareness.
Mm.
But following the declaration of the pandemic, the statistics have just gone up through the roof.
Yeah.
Of course, that is driven by the fact that people are now spending a lot more time online. Now, at the Communications Authority of Kenya, we do have a flagship product, which is called Be the Cop, Child Online Protection. And this product is a heavy-hitting awareness initiative. And as you say, it carries a lot of information online and offline. We have booklets that enable the child, the parents, the guardians, the schools, and that broader stakeholder community to empower themselves with information that is contained there.
Yeah.
We also do have a portal that enables reporting, but we are not the only recipients of the reports. Reports can be made to the police. Reports can be made to Childline Kenya and to various other partners that have a platform. And together, we come up to collate all this, provide forensic evidence, any guidance, and to support the investigations that would enable resolution of some of these matters. Let me also mention that in this period from March last year, we got to a level of almost 1 million cyber threats being reported. And this was not unique to Kenya. This was really the situation worldwide. And in order to respond to that, we realized that we have to step up our game. We have to push out a lot more information online to create awareness, the do's and the don'ts, so that we're able to match the rising risks that have occurred. Because with the movement of devices from offices and very heavy secured spaces to homes, that also led to the introduction of personal devices into networks, which was not happening before.
Mm.
We have seen the fruits of that heavy-hitting awareness campaign, because you now find that people are more aware and they want to take proactive steps, like you indicated. Mm. Service providers do have tools, protective tools and filters that can be put on devices to safeguard oneself up front. And we have seen an uptick of that kind of initiative.
So going forward, I mean, you've talked about the Be the Cop initiative, but going forward, who do you see as, you know, key partners, you know, other than the ones that you're working with right now, who do you see as a key partner or, you know, or plural partners in this, you know, child protection, online child protection space?
Let me set a context for your question. 1 in 3 people accessing the internet globally today is under 18, globally. Kenya is a young country. The median age for the Kenyan is 20.1 years.
Yeah.
And they are heavily consuming online. So even for the partners that we have today, and given the target of the Kenyan at about 20.1, we also need to really deepen our relationships in terms of discharging this mandate and to focus outward on other agencies and partners that have a keen interest on that target audience.
Okay, and so this means, so for me, when I think about it, so this means school, anyone offering any tech.
Yes.
You know, I mean, any tech, anything. So these are device manufacturers as
device
well.
Device manufacturers, financial services.
Financial services as
you know,
well.
Because, you know, everyone is interacting online. Offerings for electronic commerce.
Yeah.
Because we are buying a lot
online
as well.
Yeah.
Educational institutions are at the heart of that conversation. I believe also the broader community that sets the norms and the rules becomes important, because the conversation around cybersecurity should be one of those conversations that is a must-have in any community, that anyone coming out to interact with the rest of the world should be aware, just like we all are aware about road safety, they should also be aware about safety online.
I'm wondering, should this be part of the curriculum?
Yes, very much so. Yeah. You know the way I believe you and I did Young Farmers?
Yes.
This
4K
should be.
Club, yeah.
Yes, the 4K
yeah.
Club.
Yeah.
This should be very much an integral part of the curriculum
yeah.
because this is the future.
True.
This is the future. The world is increasingly digital.
Yeah.
His Excellency the President launched the Digital Economic Blueprint. And the vision behind that blueprint is that Kenya would be a digitally transformed nation. The median age at 20.1 means that the larger population in Kenya are digital natives.
Yeah.
So this is a conversation whose time has come.
That's actually good to hear because in my opinion, I feel like education will close many gaps and sort of help a lot of people from not being exploited, bullied, etc. Now, I'm wondering, what opportunities do you see going forward to be able to, close the gap between those who know about this particular issue, and by this I mean parents and children, and those who don't. What opportunity do you see there?
I think the opportunity will be bridged by conversations like we're having right now.
Yeah.
Because I do acknowledge technology sometimes needs to be demystified and looks to be at a distance. And initiatives that will enable bring this closer home, break it down, even provide it in alternative languages, English, Kiswahili, and even other ethnic languages becomes useful. Because only when you understand it, are you then able to engage with it in a meaningful way?
In terms of legislation, what laws exist for the protection of children online?
Okay. Before the internet,
yeah.
we all counted on the Penal Code. And this was the platform against which any violations were prosecuted. Enter the internet and new crimes present themselves. And the Penal Code does not quite fit in. There's a bit of a round hole in a square peg in a round hole kind of situation. So following therefrom has been quite a bit of activity on the legislative reform front to embrace the internet as a good tool and to acknowledge that crimes will also happen on that platform and to provide for those crimes. And that led to the Computer Misuse and Cybercrime Act of 2018. In that law, we do have certain very specific online crimes captured, like cyberbullying. We have child pornography. We have them in there. And with time, we will test how effective this law is in terms of harnessing and prosecuting crimes that are happening online. Of course, we acknowledge that because of the fast-moving pace of the internet, it is possible that even as we speak now, there are certain violations that happen that are not quite articulated, and the law needs to change even faster to be able to accommodate these kind of situations. As we speak, there is a task force working at the present moment to harmonize the rules, the processes, and the procedures that will be applicable in Kenya with regard to prosecuting child-related offenses. This is a step up to giving full life and making that law very robust that would enable pulling out of the evidence, investigating the case, and prosecuting it successfully. And we're optimistic to see how these procedures will test out, with a real case, should one present itself.
That's actually interesting because when you think about it, most times when you have new laws, especially where they're internet based, you don't really have a precedent, and so those first cases are actually really, really important.
Yes.
Plus also having a committee sit and go through, the law in the sense that they're trying to find sort of like best practice for like the Kenyan space.
Yes.
That's actually really, really important.
Yeah.
Anyway, which other
and
police?
Let me mention, actually, on that particular initiative, we are working with law enforcement very closely.
Yeah.
We are working with the Honorable Attorney General's Chambers, the ODPP for prosecution, the Department of Criminal Investigations, some child-related institutions, and the Communications Authority of Kenya. We are coming together because we recognize that we will play in an ecosystem. You know, to the extent that a case requires to be prosecuted, we will be critical actors in that space. And this is why we've come together to begin to anticipate and codify the rules and the procedures that would be required to move a case from the beginning to closure.
That's fantastic. Which other policies do you think should exist for the better protection of children online?
I think now more and more, with the rising awareness, it becomes critical to provide internet and broadband for schools and also provide safeguards or filters in the same. In some countries, you will find that there's a certification required when internet is provided within certain, let me call them safe spaces, like a school, for example. That is a safe space. When you send a child to school, you wouldn't want to imagine that this is where they would encounter inappropriate content. So I think the service providers in Kenya have really come up to provide the tools that once deployed would then give assurance to the child, to the parent, the guardian, the school community, that they are accessing clean internet, if you will, you know, and this is an additional safeguard for the child.
That's quite interesting. And I remember I was able to access internet, I think, when I was in college. And I remember there are very many things you couldn't access. Like, I think even Facebook, you couldn't even access Facebook.
Right.
So that's actually a really, really great step. But I'm also wondering from the school perspective, does it behoove them to sort of also have extra ways of finding out what kind of content children in a school are accessing, and also for parents, do you advise that kind of surveillance so that you can be able to know what's happening with your child?
A school being a safe community really carries a heavy responsibility and a heavy responsibility for safeguarding. And in earlier days, it was really about physical safeguarding.
Yeah.
Now it is physical and also virtual. So to that extent, a school should put in place infrastructure that assures access to educational content. And if they access anything else, it is safe. It is clean, because really there will be instances where children will play games, for example, online and the like, so that the school is clear and has a sense of knowledge and control on what the child is able to pull out. After all, a school is an educational institution and should be within a space where it can package the kind of offering that they will be giving to their children.
What do you see as a future of this space and CA's role in it?
I see a great future because Kenya is transforming. It is becoming a digitally transformed nation at a very fast rate. Actually, this is quite unprecedented, even when you look at it from the continental perspective. And I think this represents a lot of hope and a lot of possibilities for Kenya. Given our population profile, as we said earlier, at 20.1, I quite agree with what you proposed, that cybersecurity should be a core part of the curriculum. I almost want to dare and go a bit forward and say that perhaps children in Kenya should have a basic understanding of coding. Because if we have this kind of infrastructure in Kenya, if we have the kind of history and pride that we have for innovation and leadership in the technology space.
Yeah.
Should this not be one of those basic skills that one carries, like I'm sure you and I carry for the 4K club?
Yeah.
You will not go hungry. That the child of today, the Kenyan child of today, should have some digital skills that they can actually use for their benefit into the future. Our networks are very resilient. We have seen that during COVID. We have not had fractures and breaks.
Yeah.
We have not had. It also then means that the child of today in Kenya is not being prepared just for the Kenyan market.
Yeah.
They are being truly prepared for the world.
Yeah.
And they should be able to appropriate that opportunity, whether they will be in the classic IT space,
yeah,
or whether they will use the IT platform to be able to reach out to the rest of the world. Kenya also carries a unique culture,
yeah,
which is attractive and is a value proposition for the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And we have the platform,
yeah,
on which you know, to place it. And these are dividends that we should be looking forward to reap in the future.
What remedies exist for people who don't feel safe online in Kenya?
That's a very important question, because we have largely spoken about the great value that the internet presents, but that same platform can also be misused and can be very dangerous in that regard. Now, I think vulnerability can present in two forms. One form is you're a content creator and you're putting out wholesome content out there. Other people can choose to put destructive content out there. Can also choose to shape a narrative that is disenfranchising and very unfortunate, whether it is against men, against women, against children, against persons with disabilities, against anybody. So I think that's the first frontier, that content that is put out there should be content that's elevating, is content that is of value,
yeah,
is of positive use.
Yeah.
That's the first side.
Yeah.
The second side is when the platform itself,
yeah,
is actually used for mischief. For example, cyber stalking,
yeah,
cyber bullying is using the platform, but using it for poor gain,
yeah,
as it were. And when somebody gets into the internet and feels safe for what and unsafe for whatever reason, the first port of call is to actually mention it to somebody else. This particularly is with regard to children. We normally recommend that they take the earliest opportunity to speak to a parent, to a teacher, to a guardian, someone whom they trust, that they would bring this issue to their attention and then begin to take corrective action, whether it is removing content that was put online and is a destructive content, that would be brought down. Sometimes the harm could already be done. For example, in the case of cyberbullying, this does happen among children, for example, and it can take all forms: body shaming, unfriending, abuse, and all that. That the authorities would then take quick action to rein in this issue, to safeguard the actual victims and others within that space. Sometimes it might even require counseling and social support,
yeah,
to be able to get out of this. But overall, to say that this is why, in collaboration with other partners, we have a lot of information online on how to use the internet, the kind of information to put online, and to report if there is a violation, so that we are able to promote a safe space, to promote trust and confidence, because unlike a physical space where a violation happens and is limited to that space, on the online space, things can go viral and it can be very hard to pull back the destruction.
Let's talk about where to report these incidences. How does one do it?
Okay. There are actually many platforms which can be used for reporting these incidences, the cases, and even complaints. We encourage that let the report be made, an assessment is done, rather than withholding, because that leads to apathy. One of the places to report, of course, is the police. That is our community safeguard. You can also report to the Communications Authority of Kenya. We have a portal called the KECERT, the Computer Incidents Report Team, and it works 24/7. It's open all through, and this can be reported there. We can also report through Chukua Hatua. That's a consumer protection-related initiative. That would be through chukuahatua@ca.go.ke. A report can also be made there. We, as I mentioned, we also work in collaboration with other agencies that also do receive this kind of complaints, such as Childline Kenya. We also have the CRADL, the Children Foundation, the Kenya Association of Professional Counselors, mm-hmm. the Department of Children's Services mm-hmm. is also another platform, as well as the Anti-Human Trafficking and Child Protection Unit. Okay. We recognize the special and very precious space of the child, and this is why we have not restricted it to one platform mm-hmm. and have allowed a multiplicity of platforms, because at the end of the day, we will come together and work as a team.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you. Thank you so much for the illuminating conversation.
I've enjoyed it. Thank you.
And, you know, and also something else, and for also having a conversation that is, simple and straightforward, because sometimes it is hard to explain some of these concepts. But, yeah. Thank you for making it simple for our audience.